You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
All of it began the first time some of you who know better and are old enough to know better let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest.
This is September the 18th, 2020. Those are the words of Ronald Reagan, 1969, when he was the governor of California, and talking about the protests that broke out at the UC Berkeley campus and then became full riots. Riot control at that time involved firing live ammunition. Going to batons first, but then also live ammunition was fired. We're going to look at that story a little closer. And against the backdrop of what we face now with riots, new tactics, rubber bullets, tear gas, pepper spray. We're going to talk about the origin of those, the plus minus of those weapons in controlling a crowd, stopping a riot, and are the danger to those participating. And, of course, the war on cops continues to escalate. We're going to break that down for you in more detail. And we have a big country star calling the mayor of Nashville a Judas because of what he has done to that city and its businesses under the label, "This is needed for COVID protection." When the mayor knew the real facts did not support what he was doing. We'll explain in more detail for you. We're also going to be joined by Dakota Wood, retired Marine, who also serves with the Heritage Foundation, an expert in our national security and our military. And we're looking at how our U.S. military today stacks up against what the Chinese military is doing. And in fact, are we missing some opportunities? Or more importantly, are we weakening? Are we weakening our U.S. military? And of course, they had this big CNN outdoor town hall meeting at a drive-in theater for Joe Biden. Softball questions, nothing tough for Joe. Let's give him everything nice and easy, kind of starting with the like, since President Trump has always lied, what would you do? Things like that. Setting a preposition. And CNN did not do any fact-checking of Biden's answers. And in one case, Biden is blaming Trump for all of the deaths in U.S. because of COVID. He is blaming Trump for all of the deaths. CNN fact-checking on that issue? Well, if they did do that, they would have to also include New York Governor Cuomo and what's happened on his watch in the nursing homes. The Democrats believe that COVID and the economy stalling out, shut down, been locked down, is still going to be a win for them at the polls in November. So they continue to push that button. And, of course, they're pushing any and every button they can. And they're not speaking out against the riots in the streets or the war on cops. They just are silent. And to this date, right now, still, the vice presidential candidate on the Biden-Harris ticket, that's Harris, not Biden. It may flip before we get to it, but right now, Harris is the VP candidate, who was a former attorney general of California, has said not one word about the shooting ambush of those deputies in L.A. Not one. Hasn't reached out to them. Not one time. And, of course, Biden's also pushing that other thing that they've been using all this time, and in the process, pandering to the Jewish community, going into Rosh Hashanah. Once again, going to that lie about what Trump said about, quote, fine people on both sides of the statue issue, referencing events at Charlottesville, Virginia. They're going to continue to push the lie, the narrative. I'm going to give you again the facts. Most of you know them, but some actually might actually be believing the Democrats. Let me give you the facts. Then you make your own decision. I often build this report kind of like a newscast. 50-plus years in broadcasting electronic journalism. And so I look at building the entire program as building a newscast. But yes, it's slanted. It has my opinion and so forth now. I don't claim it is always completely fair and balanced, but I still have a basic fabric to tell the other side as well. So I try that. But this is Rosh Hashanah, starting in the evening of tonight. And for our Jewish listeners, we wish you the best for this high holy day. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
$100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same, 'cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old Studley Roy.
Mayor John Cooper has betrayed our town. He has betrayed Music City. He is a Judas to this town. He is now the de Blasio of the South. That is what he is.
That is country star John Rich of the group Big and Rich. And, of course, the song, the big hit you just heard going into it. Save a horse, ride a cowboy. And Rich is directly targeting the mayor of Nashville, calling him a Judas and de Blasio of the South over the COVID controversy. The Nashville, Tennessee mayor, John Cooper, is a Democrat. And he has been ordering businesses to be closed down, of course, and just will not give them a chance to reopen, or bits and pieces only. Now, Rich also has a personal interest in that he is owner of the Big Neck Riviera restaurant. I'm sorry, Redneck Riviera in Nashville, if you've ever been there. So I'll point out that, but at the same time, he is a citizen. He also has concerns for not only his business, but others. How does he reach this point, and where did it all go south as far as Rich is concerned with the mayor? I'm not sure they've ever really been the best of friends, but here's his description again of how he sees the mayor. And the, and also, I'm sorry, talking about the jobs that have been lost.
He has lied to our town for months and months on end, and there are real casualties with this, Laura. Forget some of the big companies that have lost a lot of money. Let's talk about musicians. Let's talk about bartenders and servers and security guards, all the people that work downtown in Nashville that were targeted by this Judas of a mayor, John Cooper, who claims he loves Nashville and loves Music City.
But does he? Well, of course, he's gotten the votes to become mayor, so I guess a lot of people bought into that story. And when you look at how Blue City mayors, governors, county executives have been handling the COVID crisis and just a reluctance to really open up, it's not just based on, quote, science. They would have you believe it is, but it's not. It is mixed thoroughly with politics. It is a witch's brew that they're boiling bubble trouble over and over again. COVID exists. But all the documentation and the stats show where the vulnerability is within the demographics of our population. Age being a crucial factor. Previous or existing medical conditions and issues ranging from obesity to diabetes to just poor general health, liver, lung damage. All of those make a lot of those folks certainly more vulnerable. But despite all that, you had the governor of New York State, Cuomo, ordering hospitals, or rather nursing homes, to accept COVID-positive patients, kind of putting them into his own little petri dish and letting them all kind of co-mingle and numerous deaths in that state because of it. But you'd never see the mainstream media attack that. They will go along with the story that Trump has to be to blame all the way around. And that is, again, what Biden was doing in the so-called CNN town hall meeting last night. This was a drive-in event because they were trying to do their social distancing. And you got Anderson Cooper Cottonmouth on the stage with Joe Biden, spaced dozen feet apart. And they're taking questions from folks driving up, speaking through a microphone handed into their car or a speakerphone, however they were doing it. But in the process, it gave a chance, an opportunity for Joe Biden to say something like this. If the president had done his job from the beginning, all the people would still be alive. All the people. I'm not making this up. Just look at the data. Look at the data. Now, CNN, which claims it's going to fact check everything said at debates, they don't really mean that. They're going to fact check Trump, but not Biden. Now, let's stop and look at that one statement, just that one statement. Were Biden to say that Trump, if he had done his job from the beginning, all of the people who died would still be alive. All of them? All of them? What about when Biden and Nancy Pelosi blasted Trump because he stopped flights from China in January and they called him xenophobic, saying that's stupid, you don't need to do that. And then within a month, he decided to stop flights out of Europe because we could see more cases coming through Italy and other parts of Europe. And then they start claiming he didn't do enough fast enough. So now, again, they're trying to push that button. If Trump had acted sooner, all of the people would still be alive. I don't mean a few. I don't mean the majority. He says all of them. You know that's a flat-out exaggeration, at the least, if not a lie. Vastly overstating, right? But do you see CNN fact-checking him right there on the spot? Anderson Cooper should have said, Mr. Vice President, you don't mean all of them. And maybe Biden would say, yes, I do, but get an answer from him. Even the Washington Post had to put out on a statement, Biden is, quote, making this up. There is no data to support this. even if the president had moved rapidly in January to deal with the coronavirus, been able to persuade the Chinese leadership to be more forthcoming about the situation. And, of course, they refer back to the interview that Trump gave with Bob Woodward where he said, it's deadly stuff, but I don't want to panic anyone. I want to kind of play it down. I want to say we're going to control. And you don't want a president that's going to panic the American public. You want the facts. And the facts were they're saying we're going to do what we can for it, but don't go crazy at this point. So would Biden, if he'd been in there, would he have been screaming, hey, we're all going to die? Or many of you would die. Did he say that? No, I don't know if he'd do that or not. Because, again, they're not going to push him on that. And we have had businesses lose jobs and people lose their jobs or income all over the nation, not just Nashville. But let's go back to that center point with John Rich of Big and Rich Country fame, talking about the Nashville mayor. Here's what part of the story is, that this is what was leading up to Rich calling him a Judas and the Bill de Blasio of the South. There had been some information passed back and forth with the mayor's office early in Nashville. And I think the credit goes to a Fox affiliate in Nashville. So let's give them credit where they have it due. WZTV. They had emails between Mayor Cooper's senior advisor and the city's health department, and it revealed a low number of cases were coming from bars and restaurants in Nashville. That's a big part of the business, bars and restaurants. The news station reported that a health department official asked, this isn't going to be publicly released, right? Just info for the mayor's office? And the mayor's advisor, Benjamin Eagles, reportedly replied, correct, not for public consumption. And that's the point. That's the whole point of this argument from John Rich. The mayor knew the real facts, and yet he continued to say the whole Nashville bar restaurant scene has to be shut down when he had the facts in front of him. Listen.
He had the information at his fingertips that told him Broadway and the music scene is not what's creating the COVID-19 problem in Nashville. But yet, he decided not to display that information to us, and instead, week after week, lied to us and kept us under control, brought this town to its knees to try to put us into submission, thinking that his elitist arrogance could overcome a bunch of dumb country hicks, right, that live in this town.
Well, they're not dumb country hicks. We all know that. But maybe the Democrat mayor thinks they must be. They voted me into office. Maybe that's what he's looking at. I don't know. But the Democrats have had a game plan. Keep the country locked down and in fear. And every time there's a death, point to Trump, say he's to blame. And now Biden would dare say all of the deaths should be laid at the feet of Donald Trump. None to Cuomo and his handling of the nursing homes. None to any of the other blue city mayors and so forth of where they have failed. But put it all on Trump because it's a campaign issue. It's not a scientific issue for them. It's a campaign political issue. And if Biden is giving you the impression or he wants you to believe that I know what I would do, really? He's changing his answer on a national mask mandate authority again. Third time in a matter of weeks, second time in 2 days. And including the event last night, he was asked about mandating that you had to wear a mask. And he said, well, I don't know I have the authority. I'll make it clear what's needed. I cannot mandate people wearing masks, but we've just been told we should expect another 215,000 dead by January. He's saying another 215,000 dead? Or the number at 215,000? No, he's saying another 215,000. But if we wear a mask, we'll save 100,000 of those lives. He's been totally inconsistent on the mask. In the beginning, it was not a big deal. They said, we're going to, and then we're going to mandate everyone. No, we're not going to mandate. We can't. No, I'm going to mandate. No, I'm not. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. He's trying to test the wind. Where will I find the most votes? Well, John Rich says what the mayor of Nashville has done has united Nashville, and it will, and that state as a whole, locking down for Trump.
Now that we've uncovered what's actually been going on, I'll give him this. He's created unity in a town that there's been a lot of division in. We're all unified now that our mayor, regardless of your political persuasion, we all know now in this town who we're dealing with. We have an actual real live pariah on our hands. Matter of fact, I think John Cooper is probably going to be the new favorite cuss word in Nashville. Next time I hit myself in the with a hammer, I'm going to go, John Cooper, that hurt.
And by the way, that was an interview he was giving Laura Ingraham on her program on Fox. I want to make sure I give credit for them as he was discussing his disgust with the mayor of Nashville. Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fauci, which you will have sometimes the mainstream media say, oh yeah, we're all for him because if he's saying what they want, they like him. If he says anything against him, they don't like him. He's also been saying we might well see a vaccine before the end of this year. That's not what they want to hear. They want you to be in fear, and certainly don't give us a vaccine before November voting date. Speaking of voting, wait to hear some of the latest efforts that left is gearing up to make sure they win, one way or the other.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I mentioned that Dr. Fauci is saying we might see a vaccine before the end of the year. I always like to back what I say up with facts. Let me read it to you directly. He told a Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute panel, I would still put my money on November or December that we will have a safe and effective virus by the end of 2020. Again, his words, I would still put my money on November, December. Democrats don't want to hear that. No. You're only going to find the vaccine after Biden's elected. And they're going to do everything they can to get Biden elected. Soros-backed coalition says it is preparing for a constitutional crisis. It's a massive network of well-funded left-wing activists, progressive groups, training, organizing, planning to mobilize millions of Americans should Trump contest the election results, or he refuse to concede, or he claims an early victory. They got 80 of them lined up. They got attorneys lined up all across the nation. They're bound determined to get the election one way or the other. And in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruling yesterday that ballots received 3 days after Election Day will still be counted, even if there's no evidence they were postmarked on time. You got that? Ballots can still be counted 3 days after the Election Day in Pennsylvania, even if they don't have a postmark on them as to when they were mailed? That's just another effort. Oh, and of course, trying to get illegals to vote or those who don't reside somewhere. Four voters who claimed the National Public Radio West headquarters as their residence voted in 2018 via mail-in absentee ballots in California. They voted in 2018 using mail-in absentee ballots, and they listed their address that they live at the West headquarters of National Public Radio. That is, of course, a crime to list yourself as being eligible to vote somewhere when you're not. One of them, and this story in part got covered by a guest we often have on the air, Hans von Spakovsky. He said one of them had to, one of the voter registration forms had to be completed under oath when she registered to vote, and she lives 2,680 miles away from the NPR West building. And again, he highlighted, it's legal punishment if you make a false statement on a voter registration form. They don't care. If they get away with it, they don't care. Another guest we often have on the program from time to time, Jarrett Stepman, a writer for the Daily Signal and also the Federalist. He penned an article that said, California wants me to vote, even though I haven't lived there for over 8 years. He said they sent to me my old California address. They sent me a ballot application. He said, and they will follow it up even if I don't send in. Yes, I need a ballot. I live here. They're planning to send out ballots anyway because they don't care. In the meantime, the Biden campaign claims it's raised $26 million since they announced Kamala Harris. That's what they say they raised the first 24 hours after she was announced as a VP candidate. All right, we're going to take a break from this issue and turn our focus on national security and our U.S. military, especially dealing with the Chinese military. Dakota Wood will join us. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We welcome back our guest. We've had him on numerous times before. He's with the Heritage Foundation, served our country for 20 years in the U.S. Marines, Annapolis graduate, Dakota Wood. Glad to have you back on board, sir.
Well, it is always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you, and Semper Fi, and I would remind everyone he's a lieutenant colonel officially. So I want to get that out, yeah. Listen, I was looking at a piece you had penned the other day that I believe was in the Washington Times. Talking about how you make a remark here, and let's pick it up there. Many commentators cite the increasing utility of technologies like robotics, artificial intelligence, and with these they contend a small military can be more effective. But this reveals a lack of understanding about what it takes for any security force to do its job, let alone security affairs in the real world. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I mean, tech is good, right? So I would want any unit, a Marine infantry squad or a ship or an airplane, to have better situational awareness, better ability to share that information, more accuracy in the use of its weapons. So all those things are good, but we can't think that that is a replacement for sheer numbers. So the smaller force I have, the greater percentage combat power is resident in each one of those platforms. So 10 ships, each one represents 10%. If the enemy can get in a good strike, then I've just lost 10% of my combat power. And not all of those 10 ships are available all the time. I've got some that are in workups, some that are in shipyards, some that are helping in a humanitarian disaster someplace in the world. So there's only a small percentage of our fleet or our ground forces that can be used at any one time. And we're sending them thousands of miles from home. And if you lose anything in combat, and attrition is a part of warfare, you're really running a risk at having a small force, even if it is technologically enabled. And our competitors have access to the same technologies, and they're modernizing their forces in greater numbers.
Yeah, and they're active. In fact, since you mentioned the Air Force as well, Colonel Jack Jackson, retired Marine colonel, sometimes hosts this program. I've had that discussion, and I think you and I have as well, that speaking about our Air Force, how many of our fighter planes are down, how often, and are cannibalizing others to keep some flying, and the pilots aren't getting what they need in training. So it's a complete cycle that continues to spin around the drain like a death spin.
It is. I mean, the average age of a U.S. Air Force fighter aircraft, F-15, you name it, that's out there, F-16, the average age is 30 years old. I mean, can you imagine that, going to war with frontline fighters that are 30 years old? So you can update certain aspects of that plane, radars and communication systems, but the basic platform itself is three decades old. I mean, who does that? And we're only producing something like 72 F-35 fighters a year. And so we're actually losing more airplanes through aging out than we are replacing with new technology. And, you know, we're just in a battle with our competitors who are modernizing their forces much more rapidly.
I want to get to that side of the issue in just a moment. Mm-hmm. But before we do, obviously a lot of this issue has to start with money and budget control and so forth. And dealing with that, you did a piece back the 4th of this month talking about how the National Defense Authorization Act is being stretched over issues. It really is not the prime concern. I mean, the top 10 items you pointed out for the National Defense Authorization Act chairman is address COVID-19 pandemic and systemic racism in the military, change names of all military bases named for individuals serving in the Confederacy, establish military diversity leadership, dictate uniforms of federal law officers. Where in the hell? Way down there. Also include prohibit live nuclear testing and dealing with civilian employees and bargaining rights. And eventually, at some point, where is the question, where is the issue on improving and modernizing our military?
Yeah, war fighting. You know, so I mean, there are parts of the NDAA that actually address modernizing forces. But when the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Adam Schiff, cites those 10 things as the most important items, you have to wonder whether our Congress is really focusing on ensuring that our men and women have the tools and the training necessary to win at war, right? So global warming is not the job of the U.S. military. And I think we're losing focus in our government on some of these very important issues. So it takes money to maintain training, proficiency, effectiveness, confidence in your fellow service members and that you know how to use the equipment effectively in combat. And to the extent that we underfund, then we're sending out a force that is aged, it's too old in its equipment, it's undertrained, lacks the confidence to win at warfare, and we're hanging the security of our country on those sorts of decisions.
You're listening to retired Lieutenant Marine Colonel Dakota Wood with the Heritage Foundation. I had on recently on the air, and I know you're aware of his work as well, Gordon Chang, China analyst, mm-hmm. and he was talking about how China is configuring its military to kill Americans, how they're, you know, starting now with some super lasers, things of this nature, to blind pilots. Where are we in the... We'd always thought, let me put it this way, for most of the public, we had to worry about what Russia's doing with the military. Give us the reality of the Chinese military versus the U.S. military.
In the last 3 or 4 years, China has added more new-build ships to its Navy than exist in the entirety of the British Royal Navy.
Would you repeat that?
They have built more new ships for the Chinese Navy in the last 3 or 4 years than exist in the entire British Royal Navy. Wow. So you could take the British Royal Navy, give it to China, and that's basically what China has increased. They'll be at 360 ships by the end of this year, 2020. The U.S. Navy has 296. So of those almost 300, only about 60 are deployed to the Western Pacific. So you have 60 or 70 U.S. ships that have to deal with the reality of 360 Chinese ships in the East China Sea and South China Sea. So even on a numbers game, we're outmatched 5-1. These are new build ships on the Chinese side. On the U.S. side, more than half of our ships are 20 years old or older. So you know, we have just underinvested since the end of the Cold War when we thought we would not have any kind of a strategic competitor. And China is hungry. It's well-funded. It's expanding its operations in Africa. Chinese ships are in the Mediterranean. Chinese ships have sailed with Russian ships in the Baltic Sea off of the North Atlantic, you know, above the Arctic Circle there. And, you know, it's a young, modernized-wise, hungry, aggressive power that is putting money behind its military to shore up its economic interests.
Now, President President Trump campaigned on and says we're going to continue to work with our military, make sure they get what they need. He's been the president for the last 4 years. Where's the gap?
It's much improved in terms of our status. When then Secretary of Defense Mattis came in as Secretary of Defense right at the beginning of Trump's term, he said he was absolutely shocked at the depths to which U.S. military readiness had sunk. We had far fewer Navy ships. We had Air Force pilots flying flight hours that were below what we criticized Russian pilots for flying during the Cold War, less than 150 hours per year, more like 120. You actually need 200 plus to be competent. And so what President Trump has done is directed funding, and they've put an emphasis on combat readiness. So even if our force is small, it is more combat ready because of the focus on training, getting it munitions to do live fire at the ranges and those sorts of things. But to rebuild after 25 years of neglect, it's just going to take several years of sustained funding. Even with the increased funding we've seen, it's still below the level of inflation,
all right,
while the cost of people and materials have increased.
In the last minute, we can't be, and we shouldn't be. I think we all acknowledge we're not going to be the police force for the rest of the world.
Right.
And so we're going to have to make decisions as to where we do apply that force and send it. In your article, you wrote, at present, our military is large enough, let me correct that, our military is just large enough to respond to a single major crisis in one region.
Right. So it's all about jobs at home. If you want jobs at home, you have to sell goods and services to markets abroad. Where are those markets at? They're in Asia and they're in Europe. The big bear in Asia is China. The big bear in Europe is Russia and what it's done in Belarus, Ukraine, and these other places that we're familiar with. And so if you're going to have a force postured, you have to look at where the United States economy is most dependent. That's Asia right now. And that's why Trump has been so adamant at taking our NATO allies to task for the weakness of NATO member militaries in Germany, Great Britain, Spain, Italy, et cetera. So if you think he's being aggressive and telling our friends in Europe to get right in their investments, it's because they need to handle the European problem while the United States uses its smaller military to address U.S. economic interests in Asia.
All right. As always, we're glad to have you on board, sir, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You bet. Dakota Wood, Senior Research Fellow, Defense Programs with the Heritage Foundation, retired Lieutenant Colonel with the U.S. Marines, 20 years for our country. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Joe Biden is taking a religious holiday and trying to pander for the Jewish vote. When we saw Biden and the Obama administration not really want to do anything for the Jews, certainly not stand with Israel. But now it's a different story. Stand by.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel your joy. Come on, let's go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Together, we can stamp out bigotry and anti-Semitism. One of the things that got me involved in this race, where I had not planned on running, was when those folks came out of the fields down in Charlottesville, chanting the same, and I carrying torches, their veins bulging. Close your eyes and remember the picture on television. Chanting the same anti-Semitic bile that was heard in the streets of Germany in the 30s. Nazi flags accompanied by white supremacists. And then when the president was asked when a young woman was killed, what did he think? He said, quote, there are very fine people on both sides.
And so the false narrative continues. That is not really what Trump said. But they continue to hammer that lie over and over. He did say fine people on both sides, but it's way out of context. And here's Joe Biden delivering a message for Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, which begins this evening and it will end Sunday, September the 20th, to be followed by Yom Kippur, known as the Day of Atonement. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the two high holy days in the Jewish religion. And Joe Biden decided this is a good time to try to get more Jewish votes. Which of the two presidents, Obama or Trump, have done their best to support Israel? Which of the two wanted to sign and did sign a deal with Iran, which vows to destroy Israel? And which president recognized Jerusalem as a capital of Israel and said, we will move the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem? That, of course, was President Trump. It had been decided by Congress several administrations ago, but no one had the courage to step up and recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and then actually move the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And Joe Biden was there with Obama on his watch. But now he says, oh, I'm all for the Jews and what we're going to do. And that's why I got in, because I want to help stamp out bigotry and anti-Semitism. Well, Candace Owens, conservative black woman, had made a statement when some of those remarks were being made about what Trump had said, and I should say fabricated and misconstrued and misquoted about Charlottesville. But for Biden to claim the same narrative, well, here's what Candace Owens said.
He specifically said, I am not speaking about white supremacists or Nazis. So this is not a legitimate issue at all. And what's really bizarre is that Joe Biden, of all people, would use this as a way to launch his campaign. Yeah. This is a man who was mentored by Robert Byrd, a literal KKK member. This is a man that said that black people should remain segregated in 1972 because it's what we wanted. Mm. He has issues with black America. And I'm really happy to see that people on both sides in the political aisle, black Americans that are Democrat and Republican, have spoken up and pointed out his hypocrisies.
Hypocrisies of Joe Biden and many of the Democrats. Trump has repeatedly condemned the neo-Nazis who were in Charlottesville in August 2017. When he said very fine people on both sides, he's referring to peaceful protesters who were for and against removing a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. There were Americans there who wanted the statue to come down. But they were being peaceful. They didn't come to look for a fight. And there were those who wanted it to stay, who came in peace. Yes, there were members of the far, far right, came marching down with their torches, shouting, whose streets? Our streets. Reminiscent of Nazis in Hitler's reign. And on the left, the far, far left, you had Antifa gathering, showing up with shields and spears. Those two sides came to battle, but in between them, there were people who did not want violence. They didn't come there. And Trump, during questioning, they kept being hammered that you said, they're all fine people. He said, excuse me, I saw the same pictures you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue, renaming a park from Robert E. Lee to another name. And they continued to challenge, because the reporters are not going to deal with the facts. They saw blood in the water. So Trump had to restate again, I'm not talking, when I say fine people on both sides, here's his quote, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis, the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay? Now, in the other group also, you had some fine people, but you also had troublemakers. You had a lot of bad people in that other group. They don't want to hear that part. They just want to hear him say, fine people on both sides, suggesting he was signing on with the neo-Nazis. On August 12th, after that clash, he said, he condemned the violence on many sides. 2 days later, again, he condemned neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and White House hate groups in a White House statement. He did it again August 15, 2017. Those are the facts. The facts. Not the lies, the narrative you continue to get from the mainstream media on the left. And the other fact that exists is we do have a war on cops underway. for those of you who have, you are either serving or you have a relative serving, we thank you and I pray for their safety. Because it's going to get worse before it gets better. We'll talk about that and the use of rubber bullets and tear gas in a moment.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.